This morning's scripture reading will be taken from John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. That's John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And welcome especially to our guests today. We're very grateful that you're here. You know, probably more than you can know. It just means a lot to us to have family and friends with us today to worship the Lord together. And we just appreciate you coming so much. It's great to share the day together, day of worship and praise, a day of family and friends. And we're really here today to thank God for our family and friends, the impact that we make on one another's lives, the relationships that we have that are so meaningful, just the blessings of knowing one another and the way that God works through our relationships to enrich our lives, how much we depend upon each other. A special thanks to Gene and to Sharon for getting things set up through the course of this week and yesterday, getting ready for the refreshments. And you know what? This is amazing. Gene and Sharon said, you know, that was so successful. We'll do it every week. Can you believe that they said that? Can you believe that? Well, no, they didn't actually. But that was a really nice time of fellowship, and it was just great to be together. And you know, when it comes to family, this may be a commentary on our times. I don't know that it's necessarily good, but when we're young, some of the ways that we first learned about family was from television. I was thinking about this week and some of the families that I grew up watching as a little kid. See if you can name some of these families. You know these folks? Yeah, and you can say them out loud here as we go along. The Ricardos and the Mertzes. You know, that's probably a good place to start because that's not only family, but what friends. We all appreciate the Ricardos and the Mertzes and their friendship through the years. Remember them? Ozzie and Harriet. That was exactly what my household looked like. Yours too? Yeah. Yeah. If you had a dad like Ozzie, I'd like to meet you. But anyway, you know, Ozzie and Harriet, David and Ricky. Now, those of you who are like under 70, who don't identify with me, you may not know who these people are. So we'll try to get a little bit more current. And of course, the Cleavers. Who's better than Mrs. Cleaver to take care of problems of Beeve and Wally and I don't have a picture of Eddie Haskell, but anyway, you know those guys. And that was my favorite family growing up. You know the last name? The Anderson family. Father knows best. What did James T. Anderson do for a living? He sold insurance. And his kids, you remember their nicknames? See, this is, you know, it was Princess and Kitten and Bud. I remember these guys. And remember the Anderson family? And you probably think that's the Donna Reed family, but it's not. It was the Donna Reed show, but do you remember the family's last name? It's a tough one. The Stones. The Stone family. And then we had my three sons, the Douglas family. And William Frawley gets in there. The first year, William Frawley was the uncle or whatever, the guy. But my three sons, this is more like my family. The Munsters. They had the one weirdo, the one cousin weirdo that lived with them that kind of, you know, had the blonde hair. But the Munsters and, you know, remember the Petries from Dick Van Dyke? Yeah. And then there's the Addams family. Go ahead. You can do it. You know you want to. You can do it. The Addams family, a little bizarre. And then it couldn't be much different than the Addams family. The Waltons. I mean, what a family the Waltons were. It's hard to get them in one photo. But they squeezed in. And then, of course, we got the Clampets and a perfectly normal family, the Brady Bunch. And now there's a solid family, the Cartwrights. Ben and the boys, I mean, they were a solid family to watch growing up. And then the talented group, yeah, the Partridge family, and of course the Bunkers. The family you love to hate, or not the family, just Archie. And then, of course, the Jeffersons, who taught Archie a lot of lessons he needed to learn in life. The Huxtables, a pretty good family, pretty squared away family. Remember them? What's her last name? The Keatons. The Keatons, yeah. And you may remember The Fresh Prince. I don't know. That's about as last. See, this is my current show, my current shows. You may not remember the last name, but it's Banks. The Banks family, and of course, the Romanos. Yeah, the Romanos. Oh my, yeah. You know, the thing about families, as we watch those, and I don't have any from recent times because most of them I've never seen, and I'm not sure I can put their pictures up there, but let's be honest. A lot of us didn't have the family life that was on the TV screen. Let's just get that out of the way. Not every dad is as patient as Ozzy. That is Ozzy Nelson. But sorry for the younger group. Never mind. Sorry. Yeah, I don't have that. I don't have them, do I? I guess I could have. You know, it doesn't always have a happy ending like with the Ricardos. Things don't always go so. We don't always get along like the Waltons around the old family radio. And even though we might not have experienced that, and some of us did experience those good family experiences, we did have that kind of life. Yet there was something about it that drew us to it. It was like, is this the way family's supposed to look? Is this the way you get along? Is this the way you get through some of your problems in life? Because even like the Romanos and the Bunkers, at least they loved each other, you know, at least they cared for one another. But we were showing something that kind of had a yearning in us for having that kind of relationship, that kind of support. And regardless of our family experience, the blessings that we've had on top of that are the friends. Because sometimes our friends take the place of family. If we have families that aren't as helpful to us as they should have been, or sometimes our friends become part of our family. And believe it or not, you learn about friends on TV, but I guess I should read the scripture first, huh? A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And there really is. Isn't it true? We have friends who are closer than a brother. And we've seen them on TV. I don't know if that's friendship or not. But, you know, Fred and Barney, they were friends. That's what friendship looks like. I'm not sure about the Lone Ranger and Tonto. It was sort of a friendship. But, hey, Barney and Andy. And these are some friends right here. We've got friends right here. And these guys used to attend here. They used to attend here, but they've moved to New Zealand. So their job took them there. And even a Vulcan and a human being can be friends. Bert and Ernie for the, yeah. Some of the friends, I grew up watching those guys. Yeah. Hey, there's some more friends. Husbands and wives can be friends. Isn't that great? There they are right here. Husbands and wives can be friends. So can machines, but and Bible school teachers can be friends. And you knew that was coming. Come on. If you know me, you knew that was coming. Hobbits can be friends. When I was growing up, this is me right here in the middle. It's on the fence and, oh, come on. That's the last time anybody oohed over a picture of me. But my best friend's right here, John Toomey. John was about 3 years older than me. I think about 3 years. By the time I got to high school, he was a senior. I was a freshman. But you can see it a little more pronounced there. He was my best friend growing up. He lived across the street. His parents moved into the neighborhood the same month my parents moved into the neighborhood, 1950. My mom still lives in that house. And so I grew up with John Toomey, and he was a little older than me at first, but you know what? We got to be friends. And there we were a few years later. Actually, that's where we were sitting on the fence a few years before. But John was my best friend. We did everything together. And then along in early high school for John became a Christian, and we shared even more because now we were brothers in Christ. Best man at my wedding, named my son after him, a very important person in my life. Unfortunately, John passed away back in the early 90s. I've missed him greatly, but John was that friend in my life who was closer than a brother. We shared so much. And you know, the amazing things about our friends is they don't have to be our friends. They're not related by blood. They choose to be our friends. They want to have a relationship with us. Thought I better squeeze one there with Ellen in there and John and myself after Ellen and I were married. But that relationship is by choice. And this is where family and friends are so important to us because, you know, God created us for relationships. God created us in His image, and He is a relational being. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit existing in perfect fellowship. And God creates us to enjoy relationship, to be connected with people. And you know, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, some of us are a little bit more solitary, and we do fine being alone for periods of time. And others of us like to have people around all of the time. But the truth of the matter is, every one of us has been created in such a way by God that we need meaningful, supportive relationships in our life. They're part of what would help us and bless us. And so we are grateful for the blessings that we have when it comes to our family and our friends, because we just need one another. We need one another so much. And you know the blessings? When you have family that love you right, when you have friends that are good, you have belonging and acceptance and identity. It's like, I know who I am. I know I'm a part of this group. These are my friends. This is my family. I'm connected by blood, or I'm connected by the choices that we've made to be friends, to love one another. And I'm part of something that's bigger than me. I'm part of something that's real and alive and relational. And it's such a blessing to belong, to have people who accept you, and to have that sense of identity. I was on Ancestry.com a few weeks ago, working on the family tree just a little bit, and I got one of those little things you see in the commercial, you know, those little green things, those little hints, and I clicked on it, because it looked like there was somebody on there that somehow might, maybe our family tree crossed, and I thought, well, let's go take a look at this. And so when I clicked on the link, it opened up to a website that had this photograph on it. And now this photograph doesn't mean anything to you, but I looked at that photograph, and I thought, wait a minute. Who is this person? Because that's me. I mean, I'm on this person's family. Who is? And my mom's back there, and my sister. My dad took this photograph. It's actually a slide that I had scanned years ago. It's like, how in the world? Who is this? And I did a little research, and I finally found out it's the wife of, like, my dad's second cousin or something that I haven't seen since I was, like, you know, 15. And it's just so amazing and cool to be like, yeah, that's my family. And I mean, there's probably only about four or five of us in that picture that are living today. But it's just like amazing to find your family, to know that's who I'm a part of. And if you're a part of a family, if you're a part of a group of friends, it's because you found love and grace and forgiveness. Because here's the truth. We all mess up. We all mess up. We all do things that are wrong. We all love. You all have idiosyncrasies that are just kind of hard to live with sometimes. You do. You do. You have those idiosyncrasies, but guess what? Your friends know it, and they accept you, and they love you, and your family knows it. And we do things that are wrong, and we make messes in our lives, and people who we belong to, they forgive us, and they love us, and they accept us, and they give us grace. I think about the way I'm just thankful to God. I learned grace growing up in a family. I just had a mom and dad who taught me about grace. Now, they held me accountable, believe you me. I didn't get away with anything, and I was taught to respect authority and to behave. That's not what I'm talking about. It wasn't like I got away with stuff. But when I did mess up, there was always a way through. There was always a way of love and forgiveness and grace. There was always a way to get our relationships right. And when I think about grace, the person in my life that comes into my mind first is my wife. 41 years I've been showing her grace. No, I thought I turned that right at the last minute. Right here, that's not what it says. It really doesn't. Like, it was just a perfect moment, wasn't it? I was going to say my wife is showing me more grace, and I'm not just saying that because I want to go home today, but it's true. If you're married, you're among us today, you're married, you know the person that's shown you the most grace in your life. You know, if you've been married more than a couple of weeks, it's your husband or your wife. And I think of all my failings, all of the things that have happened in my life, the forgiveness that my wife has given. My son sitting here next to her, man, having kids, they cut you some slack with grace and forgiveness when you've messed up, because no parent's perfect. It's such a blessing to experience grace. And in these relationships, it's not just about getting grace. We give, we forgive, we love, we reach out to one another. It's just a part of that, so that the end result are meaningful relationships. That's where this takes us, to lives that are shared together. And that's what happens with these people that mean so much to us, the ups and downs, the goods, the good and the bad, everything in life we share together with people that we belong to, our family, our friends that have shown us such grace. We have time for one another. We share life with each other. We talk to each other. We sit at the table and, yes, eat together at times, and we catch up, and we are there for one another. We can depend on them. They can depend upon us. We share things from the mundane moments to the more spectacular ones. And I'm not talking about the 743 Facebook friends that you might have. You know, you might have 1,000 Facebook friends. I'm talking about the 2 or the 3 or the 5 or the 15 people who really know you, who care about you, who love you, who will correct you when you're wrong, who love you that much, who are with you through thick and thin. You know their struggles. They know yours. You're a part of one another's lives. Oh, we just thank God. Thank God for those people. Even now, thank God for what they mean to your life, to mine. And as I'm thinking about that, as I have been this week, I couldn't help but think of the amazing thing that God does, because God takes our friendships and our family and even takes it to a deeper level. It's a level that we enter into when we come to have faith in Him, when we come to know God. God brings a deepening to that and makes it possible for us to have perhaps even deeper and richer relationships than we might have ever thought were possible. You know, in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, there's a lot of descriptive terms for God's people, for the church, the kingdom, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. I mean, the temple of the living God, the household of faith. There are a lot of images and metaphors in the New Testament for those who follow Jesus. But the number one descriptive term for the people of God in the Bible, especially in the New Covenant, is family. It's family. And it's just amazing that we can be in God's family, that we can be a part of God's family, that God says to you and to me, I want a relationship with you. I want to show my love to you. And it all starts by God being our Father. You know, John, in 1 John chapter 3, he just says, how great is the love the Father's lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that's what we are. Child of God, we can be the children of God. God can be our Father. Regardless of the kind of father we may have grown up with in this world, we can have God as a Father, and He makes it possible through our faith in Him and in His Son, Jesus Christ. As Cameron read a few moments ago, to all who received Him, that's Jesus, to receive Jesus, to those who believed in His name, He gave right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. This isn't being born into a physical family. This is being born into the spiritual family of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 that we become children of God, that we're clothed with Christ. He says you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Just amazing when we have put our faith in Christ, when we believe in Jesus, when we've been baptized and clothed with Jesus Christ, we become the sons and daughters of God. And not only that, but something else happens when we become the sons and daughters of God, and that is that we get tied together with one another, that we become part of one another's lives, that we become part of God's family, brothers and sisters, joined together by our common faith, joined together by the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us, and we begin to share our lives together. And you talk about family blessings. We've just got to highlight a few of those blessings that we have in the family of God, and it's amazing how they mirror the blessings that we have in our own families and friends, but just brings it to a different level because of the nature of our faith and the eternal promises of God. Because in the family of God, you find belonging and acceptance and identity. We all do. We found out through the good news of Jesus Christ, we can belong to God. we can be connected to Him. He can be the one who identifies us. He can be the one who sets the course for who we are and how much we're worth and how much we're loved. And we find our acceptance in Him. We're a part of something bigger than ourselves. I'll tell you what, I love Ancestry.com. This is spiritualancestry.com right here. This is it. It's right there. You don't even have to have a subscription. You can just get a Bible and open it up and read it. And it's the story of our family. It's the story of our beginnings. It's the story of how we fell and how God loved us so much that He reached out to us and eventually brings Jesus to bring about our salvation. It's all here, the stories of our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, spiritually speaking. They're all right here. It reminds us of who we are and how God loves us and shows grace and forgiveness to bring us into a relationship. Because my parents showed me some grace, and my wife has been forgiving to me. But you know, nobody has been as gracious to us as our Lord God, our Creator, against whom we've sinned and fallen so short of the glory that He calls us to. What grace and mercy. Paul says, there's none righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Ah, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Nobody measures up. Nobody belongs. But by the grace of God, we belong because of the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Oh, our brother read this just a few moments ago. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. And the verse we've all known and loved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Forgiven. Just sing, if you know the words, just sing softly with me, verse we sang a few moments ago. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. That's the story, isn't it? Our sins nailed to the cross, forgiven by the grace of God. And now, having not only received mercy from God, we're brought into a family where we experience mercy and grace with one another. And we come into meaningful relationships and we share our lives together. We are connected as family. We who were born in different places from different families in different times with different experiences, now we are family by the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, by the common forgiveness and grace that we've experienced. And so we share our failures and our hopes. We share our struggles together. Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. And we do. We do. The tragedies and triumphs we experience together. Paul said to the young evangelist Timothy, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. What's Paul saying to Timothy? Timothy, you're in the family of God. When you look at those people in the church family that you're a part of, they're your mothers and fathers. They're your brothers and sisters. And I'll tell you what, if Timothy would have been a little older, he would have said, they're your sons and daughters and your grandchildren. And that's what happens when we become into this family. All of us who've been Christians very long at all, we can name people who were our mothers and fathers in faith. Even to this day, there are men and women in my life who are like a father and mother to me in the faith because of their example. I may have never even told some of them how much they mean to me, which is really on me and I need to do. But that's so true. They're modeling of the faith. And brothers and sisters, you know how it is. People who've stood by you, brothers and sisters in your own age group, in your own peer group, that have been there for you when things have been tough and when things were going well. And then as you get older, what a joy to look at some as children and grandchildren. What a blessing. It's just one of the great blessings in the church. I love the children in our congregation, what they mean to me, to see their faith, to see it growing, to see their creativity, to see their love for God and their enthusiasm. It's such a blessing. We're all part of that same family, and we share our lives together. We care for one another. We teach, we correct, we forgive. We bear each other's burdens. And when we're sick, we have people who are praying for us. When we're sick, we have people who come by and visit. When we're sick, somebody knocks on the door and there's food brought to the house for a meal. When we're sick, we reach out to one another. When that baby comes prematurely, you know there's a group of people that are praying for you and praying for that child earnestly day and night. You know that people are standing by waiting to help and do anything that they can to be a blessing to you. That's just the way that it works in the church family. If you've lost your job, and many of us here, we've gone through that. People that have lost their jobs, and we care for one another, and we're always at least trying to help somebody find an opportunity. And in extreme cases, when people run into financial situations that are overwhelming, what do here? We help them. We help one another because we're family and we're brothers and sisters. And we take that responsibility and that opportunity so seriously. And when we lose people that we love, as nearly every one of us here has done, we think of those brothers and sisters that stood by us, who had an understanding of eternal life and hope, and yet the loss in the moment. And we're there to be with us and to share that burden. It means so much to have us family. And then when the grandchildren are born, I mean, then we share that joy. And, you know, it's just amazing to me how you people will put up with all the grandkids' pictures that we want to show. And you actually act like you want to see them, like you really, you know. But it's just great because we're family. And so we show the pictures and everybody receives them nicely because of the blessing that we share when we've got problems in our family. We know there are people in the church that will help us, that will reach out to us, that are praying for us when we're reeling from some failure. If we're battling depression, if we've slipped back into substance abuse, we know our brothers and sisters in Christ are going to care. And they may correct us, and they may hold us accountable if we've slipped away from the Lord, but they will love us. We experience this. This is part of what it means to be in the family. We support each other and encourage one another. You know, something that happens a lot to me is a phone call or a knock at the door here at the church building during the week. And someone will have a problem. And people have, as you know, very, very real problems. And I'll be on the phone or someone will come into the office and they'll say, this is what I need. This is what's going on in my life. This is what I need. Sometimes it's a very temporary thing that they're looking for. It may be money to spend the night somewhere. It may be food. It may be a particular, a specific item. And I've gotten to the point where I always ask this question of everybody I speak to. I ask them, do you have a spiritual family? Do you have a spiritual family? You know, sometimes people are living here and there, they're away from their family. You know, nearly every single time I've asked that question, the answer has been, well, no, not really. I went to a church over here, you know, several months ago. I went over there one time, but I don't really have a spiritual family. I said, you know, we may be able to help you. We may be able to do what you're asking us to do right now, because, you know, we want to help folks. But you need to look at the bigger picture. Because I said, I always tell them, I'm part of a family, and I know right now, if I were in your shoes, I know there are people right here who would reach out to me and help me and care for me because they know me, because we have a relationship together, because we're living our lives of faith together. And when you find that in the family of God, then you have people to care for you every step of the way. And I'm not trying to say to people you should convert so you can have all of your needs met. That's not it at all. But when you come to Christ and you find the forgiveness of your sins and you're reconciled to God, you become part of this family. And that's just the way that life is meant to be, in the family of God. And so today, we thank God for our family and friends. And we thank Him for our spiritual families who mean so much to us, and for the unique bonds of faith and the Spirit and the blood of Christ that tie us together. And let me just say again, all of you who are guests, thank you so much. Thanks for coming today. Thanks for worshiping with us. It really means so much that you said yes to your family member or friend that invited you today. It just means so much. Thank you. And thank you not only for being here and worshiping with us, but thank you for being our friends and our family. Thank you for being the people that are important in our lives and that we share our life with. And not knowing you, you may already know the Father's love. You may already be a part of His family. But if you're not, as those who love you, we just want you to know about our Father's love and what His grace has meant to us. That's what we've talked about today. And because we love you, because you are our friends and our family, we want you to know the grace, the love, the power of God in your life that we've come to know. And if you don't know that yet, we just point you to our God and ask you to consider Him and look to Him for the blessings that He longs to give in your life. Because there's no one who loves you, there's no one who loves any of us like our Father does. He loves us so much, He gave His only begotten Son. And so we've put our faith in Him, we've confessed Him, we've clothed ourselves with Christ in our baptism into His name, and we've been welcomed as the children of God. And within our hearts today, we have the greatest hopes, not just for this world, not just for time. Our friendship, our family reaches into eternity, into the heavenly realms themselves, where we will live with our Heavenly Father forever. And we just long for everyone we know to have that kind of assurance, that kind of hope. You know those families? They're all make-believe, aren't they? Those TV families, the good ones, the bad ones, whatever, they're all make-believe. They might have been fun to watch, may have even taught us a lesson or two along the way, but they're not real. But the family of God, it's real. It's a real thing. It's real, folks. It's real life. And it's forever. And we proclaim today our love for God and His family and invite any who need the grace of God in their lives today to come to our Father. Let's stand together as we sing.